ask you to pray for me tonight. Let's look together at a portion of scripture found in the writings of the New Testament in the book of 1 John. Looking at chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning reading right in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. This entire third chapter has been of the book of 1 John has been very much on my mind this weekend. It's been a real blessing for me reading this passage and looking at it and studying it. I pray the Lord will bless us to be able to share with you some of those thoughts tonight, but I'm dependent upon the Lord for that to happen. I know that he is able. I also know that we come looking to him, depending upon him, to give us a tongue of utterance, the ability to preach and to share with you even the things we've been able to enjoy. And I ask that you would just continue to pray for me tonight that we might be able to do that. Always love to read in the scripture, and it's there in many places, that word behold. You'll find it in many places in God's word. And the word is not there just to take up space, but it's there to remind us as God's children, to point out and to emphasize the importance of us as God's children, to really take into account what's being spoken and what's being said by the word of God. When you behold something, you stop and you look at it. You examine it. You look at it up and down and all over, inside and out. You think about it. You consider it. You meditate upon it. It's not just something you go, okay, that's fine, and move on, but it's something that you should really consider and think about. And one of the great blessings that I have found being discouraged is that to behold what he's talking about here gives you great encouragement. It'll cause you to think different. It'll cause you to see things differently. It'll cause you to remember things that you've forgotten. It'll cause you to view even the troubles and the problems that you're going through in a different light and in a different way. And that is to understand and to think about the love of Almighty God. And that's really what he's asking us to behold. He says, behold, look at this. Consider it. Let your mind be upon it. One place he says, for us to think on these things. There are things that we fill our heads with sometimes we ought not be thinking about. I think all of us know that. And sometimes we wonder why we're feeling so bad. And most of the time it's because we've focused our minds and our thoughts on things the scripture has told us not to, and have failed to focus our minds and thoughts on that which he told us to. Here he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It's a great lesson to know the Father loved you. And I hope and pray tonight you feel that in your heart. I hope you feel that the Lord loves you. One thing we know from sure from the scripture, that if you love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. And if you have a desire tonight to love him, if you call upon him, if you believe in him, if you have faith to say, I believe you're in heaven, Lord, and I need thee. I need you in every area of my life. I need you tonight. I need you to sit with me in this congregation. I need you to feed me from thy word. I need thee, Lord, to bless our preacher. I need you, Lord, when I'm singing the hymns, not just to be going through the motions, but to really, really meditate and think about thy goodness and thy mercy and what you've done for me. And if you are one who is able and even desire to do that, it's a great evidence that God loved you. It's not that he just began to love you because you did that, but you did that because he's loved you. And we sang that hymn, made mention of it, "Great is thy faithfulness. Thou changest not." And that's wonderful in that hymn because the Bible says our God is in the heavens and he had done whatsoever he is pleased. And the ye sons of Jacob are not consumed because I am God and I change not. Ain't it good tonight to know that we've got a God of great faithfulness that cannot and will not ever change? He's a perfect God. If he would change, he'd become imperfect. And someone said, well, why do we need to change? Well, we're imperfect and we do need to change to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and become more like him. But he doesn't need to change because he is altogether perfect in every single way. And great is our Lord and great is his faithfulness. And his love has been a love that's everlasting. That's without beginning, without end. A love that's unconditional, not based on anything we did to deserve it or merit it, or in spite of all we've done not to deserve it and merit it. His love was placed upon us because God saw fit, according to his own good pleasure, to love us. He made choice of us. Even before the foundation of the world, he, because of his great love, while we were even yet in our sins, he had a love for us and a desire that we might be with him forever and ever in heaven in immortal glory. And he did all that was necessary in sending his only begotten Son into this world because of that love to secure that reality for us that one day we'll be in the very presence of God and in his love forever and ever and ever. And that is, if your life is nothing but trouble here, if you don't have anything but pain, if it's brief, some lives are lived in pain all their life. Some live a few days that way. Some live years that way. Some lives, it seems like everything's going good and everything then turns and goes another way. Life is brief. It's just here for a little while. We're sojourning in this world. We're not going to be here all the time. Tonight, the Lord's given us tonight. He's given us this time and this place to be able to be here together tonight. And the most important thing we can do is to praise him and to think about him and remember him. And then one day, we're going to be taken out of all this old trouble in this old vain world and we're going to go and be with the Lord forever in glory. And all of that is because he had a love for his people. By the way, he knows, as you already know, I'm not telling you tonight anything y'all don't know. He's known his people. The foundation of God stands assured, doesn't it? Having this seal. And that seal is the Lord knoweth them that are his. And we tonight understand that. But there are so many in the world, even God's children in the world, that feel like they have something to do in order to get into his fellowship, or they could do, or into his relationship, or they could do something to lose that relationship in some action or behavior, either to gain it or to lose it. And their salvation, though it's in the Lord, if they have it truly, it's all still in the Lord. In their minds, they feel that their salvation is in God's hands, but also in their hands. And I'll tell you, there's no peace in that doctrine. There's really no truth in that doctrine. The Bible teaches us that there's a love the Father has bestowed upon us. And there's an us here. That's not just everybody. It's an us. The Bible full of beholds, but it's also full of us's. You got us. The Lord predestinated us. The Lord chose us. The Lord saw fit to choose his people. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestined, those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He called. And those whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. And in that wonderful work of salvation, there was an us from the beginning to the end. Not one has ever been added to that number. Nor will any number, not one ever be taken from that number. That us, that people, that elect family was given by God the Father who loved them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a covenant made before the very foundation of the world. Jesus was given the responsibility to come into this world, and He had the love to do it, and He had the love for the Father, but He also had a love for the Lord's people, because the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all these three are one. In complete agreement, but all together one. And three distinct persons one God manifest in three distinct persons. I can't handle all that, but I'm thankful it's the way it is, because Jesus had to come. God had to become one of us in the sense that He is Emmanuel, God with us. In order for the price to be paid, a man had to die, and the blood of a the blood had to be shed, and it was an angel could not redeem us. It took a man to do that, and there was only one who was able to do that, and that was the one that was born of a virgin, Emmanuel. Unto us, there's another us. In Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the one who had the ability and the power to take the book and to open the seals thereof and to look thereon. He had the ability and the power to carry out the will of God in the salvation of His people. He came as our Savior. He came as our High Priest. He came as the perfect sacrifice. He came as the Lamb of... John saw Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What brought the Lamb of God into this world? I'll tell you what brought Him here. It was love. A love the Father had for His people. A love the Son had for you. And I love to think about it this way. He not only came for His people in general, He came for you in particular. That means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you tonight. You see, it wasn't just sin in general that He died for, but His name was called Jesus for a reason. Matthew tells us that. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people," there's the us, "from their sins." That means He bore our sin debt. Every sin, every lie I ever told my mama. You know, sometimes I think about the times as a little boy when I said I was going to do that. I'll tell you, and I don't want to confess this. I don't tell my kids at school this. As a fifth grader, I'd come home every evening and lie to my mama. Every evening. "You got homework?" "No, I don't have any homework. I'm going out to play." I never had homework. Only time they ever found out I had homework is when the teacher called the house and said, "Gary's not doing his homework." And usually Daddy would come down steps and he'd say, "Hey, you got that homework done tonight?" "Don't have any homework, Dad. Everything's okay." He said, "That's not what the teacher just told me." Then I found out what love was too. I found out what chastisement was. And I learned about the chastisement that comes from a loving father, because he cared whether his son did his homework, because he realized that was going to help him grow as a student. And maybe it didn't work all the time, because Dad missed a lot of those, and sometimes Mama missed a lot of those. But can I tell you tonight, the one who really loves us will never let you get away with any of those things. You will face Him and His chastisement and His correction, even though you get past those others that might love you in this world. They don't have the power to know all about you and everywhere you've been and everything you've done. But I'm telling you, the Lord does. And tonight, with Him whom we have to do, we have a High Priest who knows us inside and out, up and down and all over. And I am so very, very thankful, aren't you, that He loves us. Loves us enough to correct us. Loves us enough to chasten us. Loves us enough to even remove from us for a season His fellowship at times. Not our relationship, but His fellowship. So that you are made to cry out to Him. Listen, when He hides His face from us in this world, isn't it a dark place? When we can't see Him and we can't feel Him, isn't the hours long and tedious? And doesn't it seem like life becomes a burden for us in this old world? The man of the world doesn't have any problem with that. Listen, he doesn't know the things of God, doesn't care about the things of God. He doesn't understand the children of God. You and I would be right there with him and her if it were not for the grace of God that has awakened us to see it differently. You wouldn't be concerned about these things. You'd just be happy in the world. And all of this religious stuff, you just soon keep it over there. I don't want him to be around. Listen, they didn't love Jesus and they did. They won't love those that are born of God. And we would be right among them if it weren't for the grace of God. But because of God's grace, you and I have a relationship with the Lord and a fellowship with the Lord's people. And it's important for us to walk in that in a way that's pleasing to God in order that we would find peace and rest. Otherwise, this life becomes a burden for us. You will never lose our eternal destiny. Isn't that good? I am thankful tonight that I can declare from the Word of God that everyone whom Jesus loves, there's absolutely nothing. The Bible says there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that love was given to you before the very foundation of the world by the Father who saw fit to love you. I don't know why he loved. You know, I've said that one place, and a brother came to me later and said, well, I know why he loved you, because he saw fit to love you. And I know that too, but I know there was nothing meritorious in us. There was nothing we deserve His love. Listen, we deserve His wrath, don't we? If I see myself and think about going before God based on what I am, even on my very best day, I know I'd be cast from Him, because there's absolutely nothing good in me. In me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing outside of the grace of Almighty God. But He's filled my life with good things. The Lord... And can't we all sing that tonight? The Lord has been so good to me. That's what ought to, you know, somebody said, why go to church? So I can go tell him how good, thank thee, Lord. He's been so good to me. I want to praise his name. Why would I want to hear from his word? Because he's filled my life with great blessings and benefits. And I want to learn more about what he's done for me. I want to understand that I don't want to just walk on the shallow parts of his love. I want to walk out into the depths. I want it to be like that river and that love, that river that flows out of heaven, where we can walk out and not only walk just in the shallow parts, but get in where it's deep and where you can just, you know, to see the love of God and to understand that better and better. And you know, when you'll get done with that, we'll only know completely about it when we get home to glory. We'll see him as he is, and we'll know as we're known, and we'll have a better and a clearer understanding of his love. I don't know whether we'll know all about it then together. Then at that time, I know we'll know everything he would have us to know, and we'll be satisfied. Isn't that good? And that's a promise because of his love. He said, behold, what manner of love. Not just that he loved you, but what manner of love. What manner of love. How he loved you. How did he love you? You here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And how did he show that? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. And that very verse is telling you that the world of John 3:16 that God so loved, Jesus came to save his elect family, which that world is. It's not the world, he said, to be come out from the world and be ye separate. There are many worlds in the scripture. You have to rightly divide that. This world is the world that he had embraced in his love. And as we said before, if he's ever loved you, he will always love you. And if he's never loved you, he'll never will. He changed. God, our God, does not change. We know this, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And God was just as righteous in his love for Jacob as he was in his hatred for Esau. Not anything wrong with the Lord. You see, if we all got what we deserve, we would all fall under the wrath of God, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God saw fit to love his people. Not a little bunch either. An innumerable, innumerable company. I can't say that word right. And even as I get older, I'm saying it even wrong, even more wrong. I always messed it up, but it's not getting better. I'm even trying the best I can. Innumerable. You can't number them. Got it out that time. You can't number them. As the sky, the stars of the sky, and the sands of the seashore, a number that no man can number. And every one of them was loved of God. Every one of them, the sin debt for them was paid for by the Son because of His love for them. And every one of them, somewhere in their life between conception and death, will be quickened by the Holy Spirit and made a new creature in Christ. They'll be born of His Spirit and given a heart that removed a hard and stony heart and given a heart of flesh, a heart that can be tendered and touched and filled with the Spirit, where they bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Lord hadn't done that for you, then these things don't mean a thing. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we," here's the "we," "should be called the sons of God." Now, this isn't just being called it. It's because you are the sons that you can be called the sons. I like that. I've already tried to quote part of that, not from Isaiah 9. "Thou shalt call His name." He shall be called, what? Wonderful. You know why they called? You know why He's called Wonderful? Because He is wonderful. You know why He's going to be called Counselor? There might be somebody, yeah, I've known men who stood up and said, "I'm wonderful." They called themselves wonderful, but they weren't wonderful. I'm telling you, Jesus is called wonderful because He's wonderful. Counselor. He's the Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. He's all those things. And God's little children are called His sons and His children because of the adoption of Almighty God, and because they are His sons. And then He works in their hearts the Spirit, by the Spirit of adoption, whereby they do what? They cry, "Abba, Father," which means Daddy. They call out to God, "Father, Father." And I'll tell you, when God works in your heart, there's a change that takes place. The hymn writer says, "He touched me, and nothing's the same. He touched me." Doesn't mean you can't continue or walk in some sin in your life, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we never get to the place, even after regeneration, have to be born of the Spirit, that we don't have that sin to battle and that old man to battle. The book of Ephesians is filled with the instruction to put off the old man and his deeds, to not walk as other Gentiles walk, and for us to put on the new man and walk after the Spirit. We're debtors not to the flesh to do the deeds thereof, Paul said in the Roman letter. But we're debtors to the Spirit, to Almighty God, to be followers of God, as children of light, to walk in the light. And he says here, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Tonight I believe I look upon you as God's little children. I believe you're God's. I believe you belong to the Lord. That little sister that went home to be with the Lord, I can say that tonight, that she went home to be with the Lord, not because of some list of things she did in order to meet the qualifications of being worthy of heaven, but because of a God that worked in her in a way that I could see manifest in her life the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit didn't make her alive. Her life that God had given her brought forth the fruit, and the fruit was an evidence that she was alive. Tonight I see you as the children of God because I see some evidence. I see some evidence. I see you smiling when you sing, "There's a Lamb that is fairer than they." I see you happy when you sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." I see you weep sometimes when you feel the great burden and the weight of your sin. I see you happy when a little brother or sister talks about some experience of grace in their life. I can even sit up on the front bench sometimes, and I know y'all think I'm just checking on everybody, but I'm not, and watching the little lambs in the sheep feed, even as a visiting minister might be preaching the gospel, and I'm feeling the truth of the Word of God, and it's meeting a need in my life, and I want to look around and I see some of the flock. You see, the reason I'm looking around is because I know you as God's little children can feed on that too. We have fellowship, don't we? Oh, it's good. Fellowship with God's little children. Fellowship with the Lord is wonderful. One place you experience that is fellowshipping with God's people. That's why I love to travel here and there and meet God's little children. And sometimes in places I've never met them before. And you get to know them real quick. It's how, isn't it a strange how that happens? You know people all your life and you don't ever feel like you know them. Work with them for years after years and you know very, very little about them. And you can go among people that are identified as those who love the Lord because the Lord has first loved them. And they express that and you, in just a little while, get to know them and you feel like I've known them forever. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's because He has worked a work of grace in your heart. And by the fruit of the Spirit and the evidence of that work of grace in your life, we call them and see them as the children of God. Everyone who ever comes and asks for a home in the church and we take down to the water to be baptized, one of the things we're looking for is some evidence that the Lord has made has worked a work of grace in their heart. We're looking for fruits meet for repentance. We're looking for that heart that says, I need Him, that desire, that I believe in Him, I trust in Him. It's upon their profession of faith that they're baptized, which means we hear from them that they believe that Jesus died on the cross and that He paid a sin debt and that He went to the grave and that He rose again. And based upon that belief, we see that doesn't make Him, that doesn't make them His children, but it certainly gives evidence that they are. It's a work of grace. And see, if you can see that, it's only God who's been in your heart to allow you to see that. And if you can see your need of that, it's only God who allows you to do that. That isn't how you get life, but it's certainly a way that folks see you're alive. And you're called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And the world wouldn't understand us tonight at all. Not at all. Don't expect the world to understand you. If you're praying and looking to the Lord and trusting in Him, don't expect the world to understand that. Don't expect them to appreciate it. And I'm talking about the world that doesn't know the Lord. I'm talking about the world that is out there, the world that lieth in wickedness and in evil. This world is not a friend to grace to help us on to God. We sing that song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. And part one verse in that says, is this world a friend to help us on to God? Is it our friend to help us along the way? I'll tell you, this old world, it's an untoward generation, isn't it? It's contrary. And we got a warfare going on. A warfare going on in us, and then a warfare that's in this old world where there's that battle we fight every day that would have us go another way, compromise, not stand where we ought to stand. Brethren, let's remember the great love of God. And that love of God will help us walk in duty's path in a way that's pleasing and honored to the Lord. We forget His love, the next thing you know, we'll neglect our duty and our responsibility. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a good thing to hear. Now are we the sons of God. But this isn't it. This isn't all of it. You know, this is a little heaven here below, but it's nothing like the heaven that's going to come. I love good church meetings, but it isn't going to hold a light to what heaven's going to be. In the best of church meetings, I get a little tired after a little while. The seats get a little hard, no matter how padded they are. And you get a little weary, and you get a little restless, and the old body, the old flesh won't hold up. But I'm telling you, there's a time coming where we'll no more have to take the parting hand, but we'll be enjoying this sweet fellowship that goes on and on and on. And somebody said, what's going to go on in heaven? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in heaven. Worship is going to happen in heaven, and praise. Worship and praise. Somebody said, well, that sure sounds boring. I'm just going to go to heaven and be in church all the time. Oh, it doesn't sound boring to me. If you had that little heaven here below, listen, it's not when I feel His presence. Now, I'm not saying we always feel His presence, but when I feel His presence, there is no place I'd rather be, as the hymn writer said, than the house of the devotion, the house of God. All my troubles just seem to be gone, and not worrying about this and that. One day we'll be in heaven praising Him. forever and ever, that we'll see Jesus and really know all He's done for us. And isn't it going to be wonderful to see Him face? When I see Him face to face and to be able to thank Him, to know God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and understand what all that's about. We'll understand those great mysteries that a lot of times I'm just scratching my head over. I believe them because they're found in God's Word, but I can't get the fullness that I really want in understanding them. But all one day we'll know as we're known. And that which is perfect is come. And that hope that we have of being with the Lord is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." We don't know exactly what we're going to be like when we're with the Lord in glory. But we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know all the things that trouble us down here won't be there. We know we'll have no heartaches, no problems, no troubles, no pain. Won't have to worry about walkers. Won't have to worry about wheelchairs. Won't have to worry about eyeglasses and whether your lens falls out or not. Won't have to worry about the false teeth. Won't have to worry about all. This old body's breaking down all the time. But there's going to be a day coming. Listen, when we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. And this old body's going to go back. If the Lord tarries, this old body's going to go back to the earth from the dust that it was taken. And yet the Lord's going to come and get everything He paid for. He'll have body, soul, and spirit. There's going to be, when he comes, He's going to come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I remember said, dear little sister priest, one time when I was talking about that, she'd go like, "You know, when you talk about the resurrection," she said, "you know, it just sometimes it's hard for me to grasp all about the resurrection." She said, "but I'm so thankful that I believe it." And I know there are sometimes for me it's hard to grasp what that's going to be. Some people said, "How in the world could He do that?" Listen, He took this body and made us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And by the way, before there was anything, He was there and He made the stuff with which everything else is made. Is He going to have any trouble taking that which He has made that is now going back to the dust and bringing it back together? Not like it was, but forming it and fashioning it like unto His darling Son. That means without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. But as He is holy and righteous, we will be holy and righteous. Not to the exact same degree in the sense we'll be with Him. See, there are some people who believe we're going to be gods with God in heaven. We're not going to be gods. We're going to be praised. Listen, there's only one who's going to be praised. It's not going to be me. If I was a God, I'd be deserving praise. I'm not going to get praise. I'm going to give praise. But down here, I give imperfect praise. Up there, I'm going to give perfect praise. If you hear somebody talking about us like we're going to be gods up there with God, in heaven, there's only going to be one God. It's not going to be us either. We're going to be His children, and we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But He will be God, and He will be getting all the praise. And really down here right now, He ought to be getting all the praise. And you want to feel good? You just praise Him. You just praise Him. You're feeling bad? Start praising Him. You give Him thanks. You behold what good He's done for you, and you praise Him. You thank Him. You thank Him. Thank Him. And you say, thank Him for what? Oh, He's daily loaded you every day with all that you stand in need of. He supplied it. And I know that from the promises of God's Word. And if you're in trouble, He's giving you the strength and the ability to, in Him, you'll have it. Now, in ourselves, we don't have a thing in ourselves. Jesus said to His disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Have you found that to be the case? But He said, "Abide in me." And that's really what this whole passage is about. It's telling God's little children, the Lord loves you. You abide in Him. You get close to Him. You draw nigh to Him. You lean upon Him. When you lack wisdom, you ask God for wisdom. When you begin to doubt, you look to the Lord for your faith. When you feel that anger rise up in you, which is in the old nature of man, you remember the love of God that's been shown to you, and then operate rather than in wrath towards others or in anger, in love, loving those even who despitefully use you. And don't be worried about whether they're going to get the best of you, because listen, if the Lord is watching after you, He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," and you don't have to worry about repaying anybody. He'll take care of it. Have y'all seen that He takes care of it? Have you ever tried to fix something and you know you didn't, you weren't able to fix it, but the Lord can just fix it just like that. He has no trouble doing it. I'm so thankful we have that kind of God. He says, "Beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know," there are some things we know, "that when he shall appear," and he is coming, "he's either going to come in the air and we'll meet him in the air, or he may come to us at death. And either way, he's coming. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a beautiful thought. So many people are worried about what heaven's going to be, what I'm going to be doing. Am I going to be fishing? Am I going to be hunting? Am I going to be, you know, am I going to be doing that? I'll tell you, those things won't enter into your mind. And that's because those things are fine for this old world. Listen, those are some things we can really enjoy in this old world. The Lord can, in their place, nothing wrong with those things in the place, as long as they don't take us from the real spiritual things that we ought to be doing as God's little children. Heaven is going to be about worshiping the Lord, praising him and honoring him. And that ought to be the very first thing in our life now. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things, it didn't say you wouldn't have them, the things you truly need, all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise from God. He says, okay. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure." Every man who has this hope in him. Now, where did you get that hope from? Did you work it up yourself? One preacher a long time ago was here and he said, "Did you go down to Walmart and buy your faith, or did you go down to Walmart and buy your hope?" They don't have hope and faith on the shelf at Walmart. You can't find it. Not there. That hope is what God works in you. You know what hope is? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in your heart. And he who have that hope in them, that hope of being with the Lord, that hope of being with him in glory, of seeing him as he is, he purifieth himself. What does that mean? That means he wants to walk better and act better. He has a want to do that. Do you want to? I sometimes find it hard and difficult, but I delight in the law of God. Don't you? Can't you say with the Apostle Paul, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but then there's another law in my members." Do you find that there too? Brethren, when we get to that battle, it's worth the fight. You fight the good fight of faith. You lean upon the Lord. You follow after the inner man. You follow after his leadership and his direction. You follow what the Word of God says. It doesn't make you one of his children, but it makes you happy as a little child of God to live and act. He purifies himself even as he is pure. That doesn't mean we ever get to where Jesus is. It means because Jesus is pure, he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He would have us to be as him. That's walking as he has led us, as the great example. He's our great example. People like to take and think about role models. Who can I be like? You know, sometimes they'll pick an athlete, and usually that athlete will let you down after a while if he hadn't already let you down, or some great person in this world. Listen, our God's little children, we have a perfect role model. And that's our chief shepherd. That's our the one who gave his life for the sheep, the one who is our great Jesus. We sing a hymn, Jesus, our great example, isn't he? The pattern of all purity. You want to know how to live? Watch, look at what Jesus did. You want to know how to act? Look what Jesus did. He looked to the Father, didn't he? He leaned upon the Father. And he is our great example. And any preacher worth his salt points to him as the great example. Points to the Lord and says, "Follow me only as far as I follow Christ." And as I follow Christ, then certainly we follow the under shepherd, but only as far as they follow Christ, because Christ is our great example. I appreciate your kind attention tonight and your patience with me and your love. I'm so thankful for that love we share with one another in the Lord. And please continue to pray for me when you have a mind. $409. I love him, my brother. Bless you.